بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين، أنه قال: باب الخروج في التجارة. وقول الله تعالى: فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله. وبه قال: حدثنا محمد قال أخبرنا مخلد بن يزيد قال أخبرنا ابن جريج قال أخبرني عطاء عن عبيد بن عمير أن أبا موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه عنهم أجمعين استأذن على عمر بن الخطاب فلم يؤذن له وكأنه كان مشغولا، فرجع أبو موسى ففزع عمر فقال: ألم أسمع صوت عبد الله بن قيس إذنوا له؟ قيل: قد رجع. فدعاه فقال: كنا نؤمر بذلك. فقال: تأتيني على ذلك بالبينة. فانطلق إلى مجلس الأنصار فسألهم فقالوا: لا يشهد لك على هذا إلا أصغرنا أبو سعيد الخدري. فذهب بأبي سعيد الخدري فقال عمر: أخفى علي من أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الهاني الشفق بالأسواق، يعني الخروج إلى التجارة. Most respected elders and friends, Alhamdulillah, it was with the fazl and the grace of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that before the month of Ramadan, we have conducted some lessons of Kitab al-Buyu, chapter of Islamic Finance, Business and Economics of Bukhari Sharif. Whatever we have done thus far was with the tawfiq of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made it possible. And at all times, we should only be seeking the tawfiq of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. If Allah makes it possible, we can do. And if Allah does not make it possible, we cannot do anything. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us this dua: Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda. O Allah, you give us a tawfiq to do those things that you like and those things through which you are pleased. The most important thing to attract the tawfiq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is sincerity of intention. If a person has ikhlas, if a person does something for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives him tawfiq and more tawfiq to do it. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the greatest thing. So whatever we do, keep the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in front of us. We are seated here for a very noble cause. We are in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We are here to acquire ilm deen. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Man kharaja li tarabi al-ilm fahuwa fi sabilillah hatta yarja. When a person comes out from home to seek knowledge, he is in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala until he returns. And in one hadith, these kind of gatherings is so great in the sight of Allah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, talabul ilm kaffaratul lima mada. Seeking knowledge, it's a compensation for the sins of the past. In principle, minor sins are forgiven, for major sins you have to make tawbah. So if you sit in these kind of gatherings with the intention of tawbah, it is hoped by the time we leave this gathering, we become pure and clean in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Also do consider the importance of the subject matter, trying to put our muamalat and our dealings according to Sharia. This is a very, very important issue. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَا إِبْنِ آدَمْ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ أَنْ خَمْسٍ. The feet of Ibn Adam on the day of Qiyamah will never move away from the court of Allah until a person answers 5 questions. And from those 5 questions, 2 issues are related to our muamalat and dealings. مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبْتَ الْمَالِ أَيْنَ أَنْفَقْتَ. Where did you earn your money from? How did you get your income? Where did you spend your money? If a person is able to answer it, Allah will open the doors for Jannah. But what would happen if we are unable to answer it? Allah forbid. Allah protect us. And therefore, it is very important for us to understand how to do our muamalat and what we should do. The subject matter for today is al-khuruj fit tijara. One is to do business at home, or in one's village, or in one's town, or in one city. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi explains that just as it is permissible for a person to do business in one's home, like in the case of home industry, it is permissible for a person to come out of home and to do business in his town, in his city, travel to another city and to any part of the continent. It is permissible. You can go out to earn your rozi, you can go out to earn your sustenance. And in fact, in the next Tarjubatul Bab, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah takes it one step further. Leave aside traveling the entire continent to earn your rozi, you can even travel overseas to earn your rozi and your sustenance. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has kept the world wide for us. Wherever we can go in the world to earn our rozi, we should do that. As long as whatever we earn, we do it according to the Sharia. Let us consider few points. Nowadays, import and export has become an international norm. In fact, every economy of the world depends on import and export. If any economy is engaged in import and export, that economy flourishes. And if there's no import and export in an economy, there's a decline of that economy. And that is why, if you want to drop an economy, there's going to be sanctions against that country, that economy will fall. That is how South Africa, the apartheid system also fell. Because of the sanctions, they were unable to do import and export. 90% of the world's economy depends on ship cargo. 90% of the world's economy depends on ship cargo. Import and export and transporting through commercial ships. And there are approximately 50,000 ships at any given time that is exporting and importing cargo from various parts around the world. People that are engaged in import and export, they face various challenges. I will just mention a few challenges before we can proceed. One is the FEC concept, forward exchange contract. The conventional way of forward exchange contract is not Sharia compliant for 2 reasons. If a person happens to order dollars from the bank for a period of 3 months, for a period of 6 months, the value of the dollar keeps on fluctuating. Now, according to Sharia, when you are dealing with 2 currencies, the prices must be fixed. On both sides, the price of the purchaser, the price of the seller must be fixed. Second, that the FEC contract, according to conventional method, it is a future sale. You're concluding the deal now for the future. So it is a future deal, and according to Sharia, doing a future deal is not permissible. But the challenge is, especially in view of the fluctuating rate of the dollars, What was the price of the dollar 2-3 years ago? It suddenly has gone double the amount. And this creates a huge challenge for people that are engaged in import-export because they have to give their purchases the price of the items 1 year ahead of time, sometimes 6 months ahead of time. And suddenly, the price of the dollar shoots double the amount. And all the profits are then consumed, and sometimes they even have to absorb all the losses. So what is the alternative to that? Second, in import and export, there are certain items that are tax exempt. For example, rice. People want to import rice that is tax exempt. But some people, in the name of tax exempted items, they would import taxable items in the name of tax exempt items. For example, somebody would want to import fabric in the name of rice. The container would show rice, but inside there is fabric, just to avoid taxation. Or some people would under invoice the items. They would buy item for 1 million rands, and they would tell the supplier to invoice them, under invoice them, make it 500,000 rand. Pay them the 500,000 rand they uplang, and here under invoice them for 500,000 rand to avoid taxation. Or for example, there would be items that will land in our country that is meant for another country, that is also tax exempt. And what some people would do is that they would take it to the borders, sign the papers, bring it back into a country and sell it to avoid taxation. The question is it permissible to do that? What is the need to do that? And are there any alternatives to that? The hadith that we are about to do, now Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, in supporting his claim, that it is permissible for a person to do transaction abroad, travel anywhere around the world, he quotes an ayat from Suratul Jum'ah, in which Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When you finished of Jummah Salah, spread out on earth. This hadith, this ayat is general. You can travel anywhere, whether it's your own town, own city, own country, anywhere around the world, you can spread out as far as you want to go. You can go and search your sustenance and your rozi. وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Wherever the word Fadlullah comes in the Quran Kareem, generally refers to tijarat, it refers to trade. So go and seek the fadl, the grace of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The hadith that we are about to do, it's an incident between two great sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the other is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Let us very briefly discuss a brief biography of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, especially in relation to muamalat and dealings. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in one hadith, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كان نبي بعدي لكان عمر ابن الخطاب. Had there been any Nabi after me, imagine the high lofty position of a Nabi of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, had there been any Nabi after me, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. What a high lofty maqam and position Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that inna Allah ja'ala al-haqq ala lisani Umar. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has put haqq, truth, on the tongue of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And in another hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي مَا قَبْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ فَإِنْ كَانَ أَحَدٌ فِي أُمَّتِي لَكَانَ عُمَرْ بْنَ خَطَّابَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. In the past, there were people that used to get true inspirations, intuitions. Something is to happen in the future, Allah inspires them ahead of time. And had there been any person in my ummah, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, the ulama have mentioned there were approximately 23 places of the Sharia that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu desired something. He gave an opinion of something. And no sooner after he gave his opinion, then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed the verse according to opinion of Umar ibn Khattab. Oh, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something according to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what's one such instance as far as muamalat and dealing are concerned? The prohibition of drinking wine and alcohol and the prohibition of dealing in wine and alcohol is also the barakat of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he resented wine and alcohol. And he kept on telling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he hoped wine and alcohol would become haram. In the beginning stage of Islam, it was permissible. So he made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamar bayanan shafiya. Oh Allah, send something beneficial, a beneficial ruling regarding the prohibition of wine and alcohol. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse, yas'alunaka anil khamri wal maisir, qul feehima ithmun kabeer wa manafi'u linnas. First, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala advised, there is benefit in wine and alcohol, not that there's no benefit, but the harms of it are more than benefit. Again, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made dua, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamari bayanan shafiya. Oh Allah, give some beneficial advice, ruling regarding wine and alcohol. Then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqrabu salat wa antum sukara. The wine and alcohol is permissible, but when you come to a masjid, at that time it is haram, it is prohibited. Again, Umar radiallahu ta'ala made dua, oh Allah, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamar bayanan shafiya. Then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu jitanibu kathir. Ya Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed the verse that, Innama al-khamar wal-maisir wal-ansab wal-azlam rijsum min amali shaitan. Among other things, Allah says, wine and alcohol is filth, is dirt, is from the practice of shaitan. Stay away from that. In muamalat and dealings, humbleness and humility is a draw card for success. Even in our dealings, dealing in business, dealing with people, humbleness and humility is a draw card. And this was one outstanding quality of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On one instance, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was walking with a group of sahaba. One elderly woman approached him, called him one side, and gave him, started giving him some advices. So when the woman finished off, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala returned to a sahaba, so the sahaba told to him, why did you allow a woman just to capture your time and just give you whatever advice she wants to? Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, you don't understand the high lofty maqama for this particular woman. This is Khawla bint Tha'laba. She is that woman, when she was fighting with her husband in this world, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala heard her dispute in the arsh. So what is the status of Umar, the wives there on earth, not to listen to that woman? And this refers to a concept of zihar. In the pre-Islamic era, when a person would tell to his wife, Anti alayya ka zahri ummi, you are to me like the back of a woman of my mother, that constituted divorce. And the husband of Khawla bint Thalaba made such a statement to her. So she came complaining to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the humbleness and humility of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to make this one dua, Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik. Aw kama qal Umar ibn Khattab. Oh Allah, you grant me shahadat in your path. Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik. Grant me martyrdom in your path while serving your deen. And grant me maut in the city of your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I examine this dua, it appears something quite inconsistent, simply because jihad normally takes place out of Medina to Munawwara. No jihad took place in Medina Munawwara itself. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala is asking to pass away in the path of Allah, but in Medina to Munawwara. But Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accepted this dua of Umar ibn Khattab in an amazing way. In Tariq al-Tabri, it's a book that records historical events. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was returning from Hajj. So he made dua to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allahumma kaburat sinni, wa za'ufat quwwati, wa antasharat ra'iyyati, faqbizni ilayka ghayra maftoon. Oh Allah, I'm gone old, I'm gone weak, and the Islamic empire spread far and wide. Now, take me away to you without being engaged in any fitna. It was the habit of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he would inspect the marketplaces. So once while inspecting the marketplaces, the slave of Muhira ibn Shu'bah, Abu Lu'lu, he was a Christian, he came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala and complained. He said, my master, Muhira ibn Shu'bah, he has taken exorbitant taxes from me. You call it the concept of haraj. Where a person has a slave, the slave has to work for the day, and every day have to pay a certain amount to a master. So he told that my master, Muhira ibn Shu'bah, is charging me exorbitant taxes. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, how much you pay every day? He said, 2 dirhams. He said, what is your profession? What work do you do? What is your means of income? He said, my means of income, firstly, I'm a painter. Secondly, I'm a carpenter. Thirdly, I'm a blacksmith. Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him that you got three professions, 3 means of income. 2 dirhams is very little. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, just to pacify him, told him, I heard that you manufacture windmills. Can you manufacture for me 1 windmill? So Abu Lu'lu told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, I'll manufacture such a windmill, the East and the West will talk about it. Umar radiallahu ta'ala recognized a threat in that. And he mentioned, لَقَدْ تَوَعَدَنِي هَذَا الرَّجُلْ الْآنِ. This person has just threatened me right now. Umar radiallahu ta'ala came to perform Fajr Salah. And whilst he was performing Fajr Salah, Abu Lu'lu came with a dagger. And he attacked, wounded Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala just below the navel. But it was a fatal attack. Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately fell down. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala took over the Musalla and he completed the Salah. This person, Abu Lu'lu, after he attacked Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he immediately tried to escape. And in the course of that, he wounded 13 people. From there, 6 people also passed away. One person took out his burnus. Burnus is a big cap and covered Abu Lu'lu and trapped him in that way. Abu Lu'lu knew there's no way for him to escape. Then he himself killed his own self. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala realized that it's time for him to leave the world is up, he tried to drink milk, the entire milk came out of his stomach. He knew that his time is up. There's 2 things Umar radiallahu ta'ala did. Now just consider, it's very thought-provoking. Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam in Makkah al-Mukarramah in the early stage of Islam. He underwent oppression and persecution. He made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara. After hijrah, he took part in Badr, he took part in Uhud, he took part in Ahzab, he took part in Bay'atul Ridwan. Every way he was with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His biggest concern was, and after that, he served with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And 12 years, he ran the Khilafat, and the Islamic empire spread so far and wide. What high, and he's given glad tidings of Jannah. But he calls his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, and he tells him that, count my debt. I owe people money. I want to make arrangement for my debt to be paid out. Count what is the money that I owe the people. So, Abdullah ibn Umar went, counted the debt out, and he said, it is 86,000 dirhams. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was concerned how he could pay his debt out. Imagine, he could have thought to himself, I spent so much of time in the path of Allah, that Allah will forgive me, and Allah will take care of the creditors. He didn't think like that. He made a concerted effort for his debt to be paid out. So he told to Abdullah ibn Umar, see, you could collect the money from the family people. If it's not possible to pay the debt out, reach out to the tribe of Banu Kalb, tell them they should help and assist to pay the debt out. And if they cannot help, then go to a Quraysh, but don't go beyond the Quraysh. So this was the great concern, to pay the debt out. Second, it was his wish and desire to be buried beside Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'anhu. But the house in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq is resting was the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'anha. He told Abdullah ibn Umar, go take permission from Hazrat Aisha that I could be buried beside Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'anhu. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'anha consented, but Umar radiallahu ta'anhu told that she consented whilst I'm alive. After I pass away and my kafan, my janada goes there, take permission again. Imagine, this was the consciousness and sensitivity of Umar radiallahu ta'ala about somebody's ownership. Somebody's milkiyat. Now people accuse Umar radiallahu ta'ala of stealing the khilafat. Whereas Umar radiallahu ta'ala is so sensitive about the getting a place for burial and taking permission from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. The hadith that we are about to do, the translation of it is an incident between Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once took permission to come to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. وَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ Permission was not given from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to enter. So Abu Musa Ash'ari was still by the door and asking for permission. وَكَأَنَّهُ كَانَ مَشْغُولًا It was as though Umar radiallahu ta'ala was engaged in something. I mean, somebody, he probably was consuming something. He didn't realize that Abu Musa Ash'ari is there asking permission to come. So Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after seeking permission three times, he returned. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala realized that Abu Musa Ash'ari sought permission, he got worried. فَفَزِعَ Umar. And then he said, did I not hear the voice of Abdullah ibn Qais? That is Abu Musa Ash'ari. إِذَنُوا لَهُ Give him permission to enter. So somebody told Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قَدْ رَجَعَ He has already returned. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu called for him. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, why did you return? Abu Musa Ash'ari told, kunna nu'mar bidhalik. This is the order that we have from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes in one hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, إِذَا اسْتَعْذَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ ثَلَاثًا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ فَلْيَرْجِعْ When you go to somebody's house and you seek permission, three times, one time you ring the bell or knock the door, second time, third time, you get no response from inside, then you should go away, respect the privacy of the person. Maybe the person doesn't want to reply. So I return practicing on this hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala did not know about this hadith. So he told that bring some proof that this is a hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Abu Musa Ash'ari was very worried. He needed some proof to prove to Umar radiallahu ta'ala this is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to the gathering of the Ansars and he asked them, does anybody recall hearing this hadith from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Amirul Mu'mineen wants proof for this hadith. So all the Sahaba mentioned, this hadith is so common. This hadith is so popular. Everyone knows this hadith. Even the youngest among us, who is Abu Sayyid Khudri, he would bear witness and testimony to the hadith. He heard it from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when Abu Musa Ash'ari brought Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala to Umar radiallahu ta'ala to mention that he had heard this hadith from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that this hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concealed from me. And the reason for that is, Alhani as-safaqu bil-aswaq. That I was engaged in tijarat, I was engaged in business. Other sahaba used to come in the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they benefited from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they remembered this hadith, and I was engaged in tijarat and business, and I was absent from those kind of lessons, that is why I did not benefit, I did not recall or did not know this hadith. And in explaining this, Imam Bukhari says, Al-khuruju ila tijara. That because Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to come out from the home, he used to engage in tijarat and trade, there were some hadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he did not remember or he did not listen. He had heard it from other sahaba of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi proves the point that you can come out, do home industry, search for your rozi and your sustenance in your town, in your city, and you can travel anywhere in the continent to earn your rozi and your sustenance. From this hadith, we also understand some social etiquettes. There's two ways of entering somebody's house. One is, you enter somebody's house physically, you seek permission. And in this age of technology, you're able to enter into people's house without physically entering or seeking permission to enter the house. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Osmani Sahib, Daam al-Barakatuhum. In explaining this hadith, he says that one night he was engaged in research, 12:30 in the night the phone rang. Now Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tastanisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. Then O you who believe, do not enter the house of other people until you seek permission. When you seek permission, and there's also one way is to physically seek permission, and one is to be considerate to other people. Before you phone, see whether it is not sleeping time, whether it is not late at night. Yes, it's an emergency, it's a different issue. So Mufti Taqi Saab says, 12:30, the phone rang. So Mufti Saab thought there probably is some emergency. So he asked the person the reason for calling. He said, I just phoned because I heard your niece got married, so I gave you a phone to give you Mubarak Bath. So Mufti Taqi Saab said to him, look at the time, 12:30 in the night. In another instance, somebody phoned 2:30 in the morning. Mufti Saab was busy in research at that time. Phone to ask what masala. So these are the things that one should be considered. If it's an emergency, it's a different issue, but take into consideration the privacy of the next person. The next Tarjumatul Bab is At-Tijara Fil Bahar, and that is doing trade over the sea. And inshallah, the time is already up and we have taken quite much time. Inshallah, we'll continue with this part next week, inshallah. And the masail on FEC and the other issues that we have discussed, inshallah, we'll continue with it next week. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do all our muamalat according to Sharia, and also in doing our muamalat according to Sharia, we are actually preparing for our safe journey toward the qabr and toward the akhirat. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.